every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise
high as the
let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory.
For African peoples, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God-goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization. And they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us so we would never forget. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation, too, to our ancestors because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve. And at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation. Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists. the new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation. Those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation. I shame. Pour libation to our children and those yet to be born. For they are the ones that you must teach. And you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, but they will call your name in all eternity. To our children, we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Asheo.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Yeah. Keep following me. Keep calling me. Believe in God like the sun up in the sky. Science can tell us how, but it can't tell us why. I seen a baby cry, and seconds later she laughs. The beauty of life, the pain never lasts. The rain always passes, the sun don't always shine. When it's gone, I'm lonely, but when it's there, I'm fine. I hate the winter time because the nights come quicker. The light make them whites think I'm a nice young nigga. But at night, they think twice and walk a little faster. It's funny, 100 years ago, I'd have called this nigga master. How the tables turn, but still the fire burning. I feel the heat, the world is a dry turn, turn. I'm looking for some higher learn, learn. Girl, you what I desire, yearn, yearn. You say I'm easily distracted. I think the problem is I'm easily attracted by the dark side. The temptation got me questioning where my heart lies. I'm trying to separate myself like apartheid. But ain't the liquor keep swallowing. I swear I walk with God, but the devil keep following. Follow. I say the devil keep following, follow. I say the devil keep following, follow. I say the devil keep following.
Feel like I'm riding on a chartered plane of broken-hearted pain. Turbulence is constant, my pilot is going insane. If I could find a parachute to parasail, maybe these parasites of paranoia won't prevail. Character dope as hell, but where is my parallel? Sweetheart, deep thoughts lost in my brain, so I sleep hard nights with no progress. Main, I'm thinking like I'll probably find a Loch Ness in the projects before I find this object of my love, this object of my heart. Guitar strings are strumming, searching my counterpart. Bound to start drinking and smoking, sinking this ocean, leaping through the badness, hoping I'm reaching for closeness. Feel like the devil keep following me. Feel like the devil keep following me.
I say what I want to say when I feel and I look in the mirror and no one there. With my hands in the air, I'm proud to say yeah. I'm real, I'm real, I'm really, really real. I'm real, I'm real, I'm really, really real. I'm real, I'm real, I'm real.
very well. Your eyes never lie, even if they tell. Sweet lullabies that come with the smell of a dozen roses flipping down a green hill. You living in a world that come with plan B, cause plan A never relay a guarantee, and plan C never could say just what it was. And your plans only can pan around love. You love him, you love them, you love her. You love so much, you love when love hurts. You love red bottom and gold that say queen. You love handbag on the waist of your jean. You love French tip and trip that pay for. You love bank slip that tell you he paid more. You love with good hand when never the car dealt, but what love got to do with it when you don't love yourself?
I do, I wonder, I say what I want to say when I feel at night. Look in the mirror and know I'm there with my hands in the air. I'm proud to say it.
The sky and your optics turn stale with a mold that's green. I can see you fit the bill of living in a world that come with plan B, cause plan A only can make another mistake, and you can't see success coming from plan C. When it all breaks, you'll still say you're lovely and love them and love when you love her. You love so much, you love when love hurts. You love fast cars and their presidents old. You love fast women, you love keeping control of everything that you love. You love beef, you love streets, you love running, ducking police. You love your hood, mighty. Even love it to death, but what love got to do with it when you don't love yourself?
I do, I wonder, I say what I want to say when I feel at night. Look in the mirror and know I'm there with my hands in the air. I'm proud to say it.
Same eyes, can't you tell? The days I tried to cover up and conceal my pride, it only made it harder for me to deal with living in a world that come with plan B. Escape goat, cause plan A don't come free, and plan C just an excuse like because, or the word but what if I got love? I love them, I love when I love her. I love so much, I love when love hurts. I love first verse cause you're the girl I attract. I love second verse cause you're the homie that pack burner like a stovetop that love cooking from scratch. I love what the both of you have to offer. In fact, I love it so much I don't love anything else. But what love got to do with it when I don't love myself to the point I should hate everything I do love? Should I hate living my life inside the club? Should I hate her for watching me for that reason? Should I hate him for telling me that I'm seasoned? Should I hate them for telling me ball out? Should I hate street credibility? I'm talking about hating on money, power, respect, and my will. Or hating the fact none of that shit make me real.
Yes, I ain't tripping up from down the road. Just call me. Sorry to hear what happened to your homeboy. But don't learn the hard way like I did, homeboy. Any of you can kill a man. That don't make you a realist. Realist responsibility. Realist taking care of your mother's family. Realist God.
I do, I want.
Make sure you call us back when you get this message.
Here go
your mama.
Well, you better have my phone full all this time. You better have my damn car. But look, I ain't tripping. Look, make sure they send you and your little friends over there about food for less and speaking to you. And they tell you about the good book and right about now that's what y'all need. Oh, the top dog calls the house too. I guess he wants you and Dave to come to the studio. But look, if you take them music videos serious, put ourselves familiar, your dad can step to. You know we're from Chicago. You know that's what we do. If I don't hear from you by tomorrow, I hope you come back and learn from your mistakes and come back a man. Tell your story to these black and brown kids in country. Let them know you was just like them, but you still rose from that dark place of violence, becoming a positive person. But when you do make it, give back with your words of encouragement. And that's the best way to give back to your city. And I love you, Kendrick. If I don't hear you knocking on the door, you know why I usually leave the key. All right? Talk to you later. Bye.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, so you can breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com. Access the search portal and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Hello, Josh Jermaine. Hello, local listeners, and hello, world. I would like to take some time to thank everyone for being here with me. Well, for being here with us. To breathe. And so what I ask all of my listeners to call in and participate in the community therapy discussion. Join us at Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, at 215-490-9832. Again, that number is 215-490-9832. Now let's get it. For my regulars, you know how it goes. And my newbies, my newer listeners, I like to start the show off by paying some respect to our ancestors. And so without further ado, you know I'm going to pay homage to Sister Cicely Tyson. She has been a matriarch of our community, our Black community. And so I would like to share a little piece about her on today. Renowned actress Cicely Tyson has died. She was 96 years old. Her death was announced by Larry Thompson, her longtime manager, who did not specify the cause. In a career that spanned some 65 years, Tyson was an elegant, dignified presence on stage and screen. She commanded attention in such movies as Sounder and the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. She won Emmys and at age 89, a Tony Award. She also inspired generations of African-American actors who grew up watching her. In an interview that aired just last Sunday, marking the publication of her memoir, Jazz As I Am, Tyson told NPR's Michelle Martin, that as an actress, I learned that I could speak through other people. I was a very shy child. I was an observer. I never spoke, but I was a great observer. Cicely Tyson brought grace and gravitas to the role she played. It was her eyes that spoke, that could sparkle in one scene and then pierce the soul in another. That is, she had range. In Sounder, she was a wife and mother in a family of black sharecroppers in Louisiana in the 1930s. The part called for Tyson to be tender with her family and to seek when the town's white sheriff won't let her see her husband in jail. Critic Roger Ebert wrote that it was a wonder to see the subtleties in the performance. In 1972, Sounder was one of the first movies to show the strong bonds of a loving black family. Tyson once told NPR that it was also the movie that made her realize she needed to look for roles that reflected her experience as an African-American woman. During a press conference for Sounder, a white journalist told her the movie made him aware of his own prejudice because, he said, he was surprised to hear African-American children call their father daddy, just like his kids called him. He could not equate the fact that this man was on the same level as he, Tyson said. And really, I admired him for standing up in an audience and saying that, and I thought to myself, Cicely, you really can't afford the luxury of just being an actress. Cicely Tyson was born in Harlem. Her parents were from the Caribbean. Her father was a carpenter and a painter. Her mother was a housekeeper who was deeply religious. In 2005, Tyson told NPR that their lives revolved around the church. We did everything in church, she said. I mean, I played the organ, I played the piano, I taught Sunday school, I sang in the choir, and then on Monday, we had prayer meeting, and Tuesday, we had young people's meeting, and Wednesday, we had old people's meetings. And Saturday, we cleaned the church. And Sunday, we were right back in the church. My entire social life was in and about the church. And so that is the basis of my foundation. Tyson was also gorgeous. She started modeling after high school. Soon, she was acting in movies and on TV. It was the 1960s. During the Civil Rights Movement, New York was a place where black artists formed alliances. Tyson performed in shows with all black cast, alongside artists such as her friends Maya Angelou and James Earl Jones. One of Tyson's first roles was in socially conscious but short-lived TV series East Side, West Side. Tyson played a poised, intelligent secretary in an office of social workers. Tyson's short Afro hairstyle inspired other black women to also wear their hair natural. Tyson was on magazine covers like Ebony and Miss. She married jazz star Miles Davis. Photographers swooned over the famous couple. Cicely Tyson always looked for positive portrayals of black women. In 1974, she took on one of her most famous characters, the lead in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, a TV movie on CBS. With the help of a stunning makeup job, Tyson transformed herself to play the title role, a former slave and sharecropper. Tyson played Miss Pittman at various stages in her life. As a young adult, she's beaten up by Klansmen. Friends and family members are murdered. Tyson captured her weariness as well as her resilience. It was a rare event for a television network to broadcast a feature film about the brutal struggles of African Americans in prime time, especially from the point of view of African Americans. The autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman won 9 Emmys, including one for Tyson. It was a performance that deeply inspired a young Viola Davis. She and her sisters watched the TV movie together in their family's rundown apartment in South Carolina. And at awards press conference in 2015, Davis said Tyson was a revelation. She was the first actress that I saw when I was 6, 7 years old. That where I saw craft, Davis said, where I saw the magic of transformation. Viola Davis eventually got to share in that magic in the TV series How to Get Away with Murder. Tyson played Davis's mother. Cicely Tyson used to say, well into her 80s, that she was still looking for one more great role to play. At age 88, she found it, playing Miss Carrie Watts in a Broadway revival of Horton's Foot, The Trip to Bountiful, with an all-black cast. In one scene at the bus station, Tyson's character strikes up a conversation with another solo traveler. She would break into a hymn. Overcome with emotion, she would get up off the bench and start clapping. Sometimes the audience would join in, and she would ask, what was her secret for being so active into her 90s? Tyson said she took care of her body, but also that she simply loved life. Let's lift up our sister, Cicely Tyson, up in spirit. My God, today, I am just so honored to have shared that in this moment with you guys, because as a Black woman, that just empowers me just at 88 to continue to thrive and go after your dreams. That's amazing. I'm my guy, Josh Jermaine. I'm serious. Well, I'm over here damn near trembling, because breathe. That's how, you know, I am breathing, damn it. I'm breathing always, but I'm breathing some more, because to see her go, that was like seeing our grandmother pass away when Cicely just passed away. Thank you, lovely boo. Thank you for coming out. You know what I mean? I appreciate the love. And so what I have to say is, come on. You know, to see her go, y'all can't tell me y'all wasn't shaking. That was like losing your auntie, your great grandma, and you needed a minute. You needed a minute. I was binge watching movies in Sicily.
Okay. Y'all good? I'm with him, and I want to say, bro, with you, that's why I like you. And again, it's so hearing about her and just knowing that's empowering to see her. She was definitely, you know, we talk about role models all the time, and she definitely represented the old school, though, in a very royal fashion for even the new school, though, to experience her in these roles, you know, as an elder in most of these movies. And I think that, you know, hopefully, though, you know, she get her job, rest in peace. Rest in power, you know, she did her job. I think she definitely made a path for the younger generation, though, to, you know, learn from her.
Exactly. Well, we could talk about Cicely all day, but that's not what we don't, that's not what today's show about. We have to give her the space. And now that we didn't get her the space, we finna breathe and get on this topic. So, Josh, take us into the introduction for today.
Let's get it. Hey, world, and welcome back to another episode of Black Sister Talk. My name is John Jermaine, the true mystical prophet that's always transcending truth to light. Today's episode, we are discussing more in depth on why we are angry in the Black community as a whole. It appears that as a group, we relate to each other with anger and vitriol towards each other to a point that it's difficult to receive genuine support and love when it becomes available to us. It seems that it's easy for us to disrespect and devalue each other. It is time, you know, to the point where it's, like, I feel like for us, it's time for us to find positive ways to relate. A reference, even with Sicily, just for her story alone, I think about that Tyler Perry movie, though, on the movie on the end though, when all the kids were shaking their butt and everybody was in the family reunion though. And she got Maya Angelou, and they came to the old slave house though, and she was like basically telling us, though, like, you know, you better than that. You know exactly. What I'm saying? So a reference to her back to this topic though, is just saying that, you know, we gotta learn how to learn from what has happened to us though, and learn how to accept it. But we can't put this on ourselves any longer because we are hurting ourselves. I mean, what are we getting out of this? You know what I'm saying? By using that, because I feel like we can be angry all the time, but we gotta bring love back, you know, and accept ourselves, forgive the people that have hurt us, and let's get to a new world of thinking and being overall.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a happy Saturday always here at Black Sister Talk, okay? And I want to let y'all know I'm Miss Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. And today's conversation, today's discussion, we'll focus on why you so angry. We will be addressing the hate you give yourself, the hate you project onto others, and how this behavior manifests into other areas of your life. Please do not get it fucked up. Anger is a natural and necessary emotion. However, the way we express it becomes critical to how we interact with others in the future interactions. So what I mean by this is we teach people how to treat us. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything and everything. Now that I've cleared that up, let's look at how anger affects those that are the victims. Attachment is a concept that is important to mention when we are discussing anger. However, it should be thought about because the way you get angry can draw someone close or away from you. This in turn creates a discussion or creates a ripple effect if the person and make them, it creates a ripple effect in people and makes them fragile. Now, when you think about it, a person who seems rough on the exterior can also be fragile. They may appear strong, but they may be very weak. And so we need to address that on today. The first question I'm going to pose is, where did you learn to get angry? And what does this say about yourself? So if anybody that's listening in on the live, they want to comment or respond to that, you can go ahead and do so. And anyone that's on the podcast, on the phone right now, can also chime in. And Josh, you can definitely follow up as well.
No, that's it.
So do you got to, y'all want me to come out here and spill my guts? You know what I'm saying? I don't have no problem with it. You know, I don't have no problem with it. I am a leader, not a leader. I will show you guys what I mean by getting right to the point, because you have to know yourself to do just that. See, we're going to talk about that inward today. See, we're going to focus on the inward right now, and we're going to bring it out, because that's what's the blockage. You know, that is the problem, getting right to it. See, we thinking about how to say it. Am I finna say it right? Am I finna offend somebody? See, my anger is offended. So right now, I can't sit here and be like, cool, I'm finna go about this in a roundabout way. See, Black Sister Talk, she just say it. Black Sister Talk, she just say it. She ain't got time. So we gonna get right to it. Where are you getting this from? Who do you get angry like? And don't be that bullheaded Taurus type motherfucker like I claim to be. Somebody have to get me together and tell me I want a Taurus. That's shocking my life all the way around. You know, I was angry about that for a minute. You know, who are you to tell me who I am? You know, those kinds of things. Let's talk about that. You know what I'm saying? We got to be real and address cognitive dissonance, because that's sometimes what your anger creates. We have a conflict with the feelings and the mind, the emotions, and we all over the place. I'm feeling everything, but damn, when are you not feeling everything? You know, let's be real. Because Miss, your favorite therapist over here is always bringing what, like Mr. Crawford said, bringing truth to the hidden light.
Let's go.
Come on. You already know. You seen me in action. You know how I do.
I know what it is. I mean, you gonna go. I mean, I just thought they go for mine a little bit. I think for me overall, I mean, working in mental health, working in this field, working in the Black community primarily, you know, and also, you know, being Black myself, being having a Black family, I have to put that family in there a little bit because I think that anger is not so, and it's like what you said earlier, anger is not a bad thing. I mean, everybody should have some form of anger, but it has to be managed. It has to be able to know how far it can go. You know, it's all about burning, you know, but you gotta know when that burning do come with destroying, but you gotta know how to create it, you know, so it has to come with a kind of an alchemy feel with it too, so you still gotta know what it is, but I think for me, it's family for the most part, because maybe the family was upset with how their life ended up, and now they got the offspring, and now, you know, all this pessimism that's going on in family life, you know. Back in our days, you know, we did this, and you got the new school, like, we're not there no more, you know what I'm saying? So I think that makes the anger response. I don't think that family don't intentionally try to be angry. I want to go that far and say I do think that family do got a good intention of trying to love each other. But the problem is, though, yeah. That look like anger. It looks like anger, you know what I'm saying? Though? And they can only respond by what is being seen by leaders that are around them all the time. And these brothers sometimes do not know how to deal with communication and social skills to be able to communicate in a positive manner to teach a child how to do that. You know what I mean? So I think that really comes from that. And I think a lot of it comes with the media, because now being a Black male in America is you are not a masculine guy that's kind of got a cutthroat mentality or a grindish, you know, a gritty, you know, type mode. Then you understand a week compared to television, you know what I'm saying? If you want to be a leader in, you know, on television, you got to damn near be a killer or, you know, or be a criminal about something, though, for you to get, like, what you would call street cred. So I think even the stereotype that, and not only a stereotype, I think it's more like how we relate to each other, though, in a way where we kind of relate to each other, though, off negative things. So then that makes me question if low self-esteem. You know, do you even feel like we are who you say we are? And I do understand that white supremacy has definitely played a part in all of this. You know what I'm saying? But we got to be able to get educated about ourselves and know, like, you know what? It's time for us to create our own narrative as people. So I think it's a lot of directions. You know what I'm saying? I think the family for sure. I think it's the social engineering that comes with this to make us feel like, you know, we can say negative things. You know, I mean, you know, if you, in the male community, I know that if you're not showing hate to somebody, though, or you're not really joking at them, though, you're not showing love. If you show too much love, then you get it something, you know, and that's bullshit, you know what I mean, that we have become ignorant with our communication skills, that we cannot have authentic communication to really get to know one another.
Please believe me, Josh, it could all be so simple. If they knew themselves to begin with. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about complex things where simple things have not even been addressed. Because this is like building, this is the building blocks, right? Hey, Chef Mahoney, what's up? You in the building. Hey. So, I'm sorry, you know, I gotta show love when the people come in the room now. You know, I gotta show love both ways, because when y'all come in the room over here, I gotta show that love too. But listen, what I am saying is this. You gave me all of that, but you still ain't answered my damn question, because you didn't wanna tell me the truth. That's what they do. That's what they do. You know, and you know how I am. I let her, I'll be like, listen, I heard everything you just said, but you still did not answer my question. And if you felt like you answered my question, please explain to me how you did, because that must be the hell the answer that I was looking for. And Ms. Shepard is not going to get angry with you. She just going to restate the question and bring you back in, right back on over here. And I'm going to ask you this question again. Where did you learn to get angry from? I heard what your ass is angry about.
Oh, okay. I got it then. My friend.
I'm pissed off about the same thing you pissed off about. But where did you learn to get that angry, bro?
My parents. Let me get it real. You know what? My parents. My family is a primary problem, and I don't have anger issues. I want to let everybody know I'm not an angry person at all, but I have learned how to be angry dealing with family members. Yes. Because in a way though, they want you to kind of, I can't explain it, but I know it's them for sure. Because it's like, if you're being nice, then sometimes they take advantage. Then you gotta, you know, worry about, you know, getting taken advantage of though, knowing that this is supposedly your family. How long are you gonna keep taking advantage of before you get to that point and you're like, I'm not having this, you know what I mean? And that can turn into anger. So it's like, when you get tired of putting up with something though, what else you gonna keep doing? You gonna keep saying, I'm gonna keep doing it, even when you're addressing it. So it's like, sometimes though, we only know how to deal with each other. And my family though, is that we cut each other out and saying, you know, these vulgar and these tones sometimes though, when we're not even talking about shit. We talking about why we mad and we ain't finding no solution. You know what I'm saying? And overall, that taught me how to be more angry. You know what I'm saying? Because then I feel like I'm not being heard by anybody else that I might meet outside of my family. Because now I'm thinking, okay, you know, do they got the same point like my family got? Because I could tell them something, though, and they could say they're listening to me, though, but run right over what I'm saying. And now, how many times am I going to keep getting ran over? How many times am I keep getting respectful? How many more times am I going to be, you know, considerate of somebody else doing somebody not considering me? I'm putting in the work. So, yes, it's definitely that. You know what I mean? And I do agree with what I said the first time, though, even with, you know, TV. Not saying that I'm not a TV watcher, but you do know that we can be socially engineered by a media and don't even know we're doing it subconsciously. So we got to look at even that. You know, sometimes, though, we look at our community and do we have anybody outside of our community to show us how to positively communicate with each other without selling ourselves short? You know what I'm saying? You know, and then sometimes though, you know, when you will. And we in the community sometimes though, and you too educated, or you too smart, then what's up? Now you too white. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like you really don't have a lane, in my opinion, in the black community where people can speak positively and be respected. And being respected don't mean listening to somebody and taking advantage of them because you think they're mean. If I do it to this person though, then they're going to let me do it because they're a nice person. Fuck that. That's not anger shit not happening. Did that give you more in-depth to what I was trying to say?
No, I heard you loud and clear. I just had to unmute that mic. You know I'm over here doing a lot of stuff. I got to give me a little assistant or something. Somebody hit this button over here for me. Because this is another job, okay? And I just got done with work. So I'm over here like, come on. I feel you, and I'm glad you was able to breathe on that, because now we get into some honesty. You know, we got to address this with some honesty, because you got to know where you get that angry from. Where did you get that anger from? Where did it come from? Let me hear some from other folks on the line, because we finna breathe on this today. We
don't know. I'm with it.
Yes, yes. Hello, 773. How are you? Look, I got Chi-Town in the building, so you know I'm gonna go over there.
Hello, Miss, our favorite therapist. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Am I your favorite therapist?
Yes, you are, Miss LaWanda. I'm loving what I'm hearing so far, I got to tell you.
Yes, I'm loving it. We keep it real. We keep it so 100. And I want to hear from you. Where you get angry? Where did you learn how to be angry?
Okay, Miss LaWanda, here it is. Let me give it to you. This is my confession. I learned to be angry from my dad. My dad was born in the South. He was sharecropping. I am the child of sharecroppers. He grew up in the segregated South where they told you, nigga, you gotta go over here to this fountain. You can't come to this fountain. White, black, colored. My dad had a third grade education and, he really didn't know how to communicate. My whole family didn't know how to communicate. And a lot of that dysfunction came from the family, from your parents. You learn from them. He stayed angry, just mad, dream deferred, couldn't date who he wanted to. If he wanted to date a white woman, he couldn't date a white woman. If he wanted to go to college, he couldn't go to college. My dad told him, you have a third grade education. you know how to read and write in third grade, so that's all the education you need. So my grandfather taught my dad to work with his hands, not with his mind. So he really was not an educated man, and he really didn't know how to communicate. His way to communicate was either yelling, hollering, screaming at you, cursing at you, whooping your butt with a switch or a belt or whatever. If he got mad at you, he would shun you, not talk to you, not speak to you. This is dysfunctional communication within our Black families, and I think that's where I got my anger from. Thank you, Ms. LaWanda. I'm going to stop right there.
Oh, well, I certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing, because that's honesty, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for being so authentic with your story, because that's what we up against. We up against a changing world and people's growth being stunted and just being in a box of, I don't need to do anything different than what I've already learned because I'm content and I can get by. We got to get away from that get by mentality, because we are shutting our children down. Hey, Dolly. And we can't shut our children down because they are our futures. And we also can't forget about ourselves, because we have to keep going to motivate them and show them that, hey, you can keep going too and keep growing. And so I definitely can identify with that story, growing with my upbringing and growing up with my family and, you know, me learning new things and them. You think you so smart. You know, you should want to think I'm so damn smart. I'm going to have to take care of you one day. You know, those kinds of things. So it's really interesting to hear how our generations is evolving, you know, and how if you do have a progressive mindset, even if you are older, you're not to the point where I can't learn and grow. So I just appreciate you for sharing that, because that will make a person angry. Because when you are being shut down and nobody is trying to hear what you got to say, that little person, your inner child, that shuts you down in the future, because that inner child comes out in those situations, because that's a trauma response. That's a trigger now for me that, hey, I had that experience. And so now I have to unlearn this so that I can be healthy and, you know, get rid of the way I get angry. You got to acknowledge it. So I thank you for that, sister. I thank you for that. Ooh, we going to breathe. We going to breathe today. We going to breathe. Miss Kenosha. We got 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We going to have a little dance break. Dance. Yes, because I'm probably, I still can't find the fan. So how you doing, Miss Kenosha?
Is that me?
Oh, you, Mr. Bird.
Hi. So what's the question?
Where did you learn how to get angry?
I learned how to get angry from my grandmother, who was also my mother. You know, I, picking up emotions and things the way that I did, I could feel the anger in my grandmother's voice, but then I also felt it with her hand when she would be, my grandmother was physically abusive. She was very angry, and she couldn't really control her anger. And so in a sense, it's like her being angry and using, you know, her hands and her voice, and it was just so loud and so overbearing. And then the look in her eyes, all that anger transferred to me. And so it caused me to not only have trauma from her anger, but my response is anger. When I get upset, anytime I get upset, it's like I just don't have kind of a tolerance for anything. And so when I get angry, it's like I just have to hit something. So when I get angry, you know, I hit things. I've been working on that for some years, and it's not easy, but it's something that I do recognize as a problem. When my grandmother didn't understand something, she would hit. To this day, I'm 32, and when it comes to math, like long division, Multiplication, that's like more than two numbers. Subtraction, if it's more than three numbers. I don't know how to do it because my grandmother would sit at the table with me and she would smack me and she would yell at me and threaten me and say, I'm going to try to knock your head off your shoulder if you don't get this right. And she would literally stand over me. So if I didn't get something right, I ran the risk of getting popped or, you know, getting hit in the face or the head. And I'm talking about full force, knocking you out the chair type of shit, busting your nose until it's bleeding. And I don't feel like that was warranted. And so by me internalizing everything, when I got upset in return, I'll just offer something else. I could be at school. Anything that upset me would trigger this burning sensation in my stomach, and I would just want to hit something. And that's where my anger comes from. And that's who taught me to be angry.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a deep breath, a collective deep breath. Yes, let's engage in that process right now. We're going to breathe. And we're going to do this on a three count, a two count, and then a three count. And I want you to breathe in the best of intentions. And when we breathe out with this collective breath, I want you to breathe out all doubt and just release it. So on the count of three, one, two, three. That's a good deep inhale. Let's hold that. One, two, and let's breathe out that doubt. One, two, three. And if you want to go ahead and do that again or anytime throughout the show, because to really have these conversations, we're going to go to a vulnerable place. We're going to go somewhere where we don't go on a day to day because that place is uncomfortable. And who wants to be in an uncomfortable place like that? But to acknowledge where your anger comes from is all the best step in the right direction for you to figure out what to do with it. Because like I said, anger is a very natural emotion. But the way we process that anger is very, very important to how we bring people near us or push them away. And so, Ms. Divine, I just appreciate you for being so authentic and honest, because I know that comes from a hurtful place, because that anger manifests into other things. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in the top of the hour, the manifestation of that anger. How that anger grows from that little child sitting at the table, you trying to learn how to do math. And because she does not understand how to do it, she's angry. And that anger is taken out on you. Not only is it because she can't do it, but whatever happened to her that stunted her growth in life is also coming out in that anger. That's why when you say she knocked the hell out of me, that was everything that her not knowing how to do math has hindered her from transferred through you. That anger is a projection. And I'm so sorry you had to experience that, because unfortunately, you know, and we talking about this in the future, the curse of the South, you know, that's a very necessary topic to discuss, because a lot of us come from those sharecroppers. We're not that far removed from this slavery as we think we are. We still in it. Quiet is kept. Everything is a multi-marketing system, aka the new slave trade. Understand where I'm coming from. If you don't think so, go ahead and send me a comment as to how we are not. Okay, because I was saying you every reason to how this is upcycled. Okay? First way to unshackle your brain. Okay? Miss Shamus over here woke. I know it. Don't let I ain't just a pretty face. Come on now. I'm not just a pretty face. I know what's up. And you ain't gonna come over here and just tell me nothing, because I ain't going with that mess. So I need you to know that, Ms. Divine, I am so sorry that you had to experience that, because I know your heart and I know how brilliant you are. And to just be nurtured with some love, even if you don't understand something to your children, go ahead and let them know that. But I'm willing to learn and do the work as a parent so that you can learn. Don't shut your child down. Please. That's the worst thing you can do, is shut a budding mind down, because these children are sponges. And if you tell a kid they don't have to learn during this very critical time, you really setting this kid up to be hopeless. I mean, we even talked about the importance of having an imagination and to not be able to express that imagination as a child. It brings anger. It brings misunderstanding. And it makes you feel lonely, which in turn brings you back to anger. So what are we looking at? We're looking at a vicious cycle. Okay? Let's breathe. Very vicious. Very vicious. So, what you think about that, Josh?
I mean, that's deep. It's deep because, I mean, you really sit back and think, like, I think with family is like, that's why I love that you got these kids coming out right now. They're just very aware and very awake, very, like, just on it. You know what I mean? Because I think our generation is the one that really carved that path for that to happen. Because I think a lot of times, I really do not think that family do not mean to intend to hurt their kids. Because I know this is a very important topic. So I'm going to be 100 about that. I think it's not as ill-intended as you like to think. I think the problem is, though, is that we got to understand what made them so upset to get to that point. Because when I think anything about, you know, my family, though, included with that, is just that I think of my grandmother. I think about my grandmother's trauma. I think about her mama's trauma, her daddy's trauma. You know what I'm saying, though, when all this stuff was going on. I know these people went through something, though. But it's like at the same time, though, it's like they end up hurting their own family in the whole process. And then we a whole goddamn mess.
Very true.
It's like nobody thought to try and stop the cycle of not understand. Like, because of the things that I went through, it makes me hyper aware of the way I am with my children, because I do want to do things right. But it's such a conflict because the anger in me, it's like there's a part of me that wants to be helpful and be nurturing and teach my children and be calm, but then the angry part of me that literally is a big fire on the inside of me. It's not a small spark, it's a big fire. It's just a fire when it comes, and it's like if I don't hit something or do something, it's gonna affect me physically. And so it's like, you know, I've had to go to anger management at times. You know, I have an issue with hitting men. When I'm in relationships, if you say something stupid to me, I might just pop your ass. Because I just, me being angry, especially when somebody's talking crazy to me or yelling, I have a problem with people yelling. That's why I don't argue. Because if I get to a point where I'm getting ready to argue, I'm getting ready to take your ass out. And we don't need that. So I just don't argue with people. But I try to do the best I can with my children and not be so angry. And I recognize that I have that issue with my children. So, you know, being conscious and aware of that, I'm not going to make an excuse and say, well, this is what happened to me. I don't want it to happen to my children. I don't want to traumatize my children and re-traumatize myself by traumatizing them and then feeling guilty about it. So, you know, because I know these things, I try to stay aware of them and continue to work on myself so that I won't mess my children up. Because I sure don't want to do that. And I'm not mad at my grandmother. I know my grandmother didn't mean it. My grandmother did the best that she could do. And she was hurt. Nobody helped her. So I get it. I get why my grandmother was the way that she was. And I feel for the woman that she was, the child that she never was able to be. And what was stolen from her as a result. So that's how it is. That's how I see it.
No. I appreciate you for sharing your feelings. And I'm glad you were able to come here and breathe with us, because you need that. And we need that too. We got to learn to grow together. But listen, we at the top of the hour, you guys. We'll be back after this short break. Go and get you something to drink, get you something to snack on. We got another hour to go, and then we're going to have this top of the hour this after show discussion. So, breathe with us. Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe.
Let's go.
When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds.
The money and the fame make a monster, a monster. Power, the money and the fame make a monster, a monster.
Feeling so good, my small son. Hit it so good, my chose son. My pull out the game so weak. Fuck it, you can go and have both fun. Zone 6, nigga, I come from. Neighborhood sounding like pop, pop, pop. Pick em up, roll em out, all of that drip, drip. There got young boy drop, drop. Hey, hey, oh, where that money go? I was living fast. They gon' watch em slow. All these niggas got six figures, they won't miss a O. I'm gon' shoot they baby mama if I got the pole. Bodyguards going through customs. Both of them boys got handguns. Cause most of your friends can't trust them. Cloud chasing. Let me truth on the verse. If they paid you to do it, you don't gotta ask what you worth. Me and Savage, we came from the dirt. If you rapping for money, you silly. This shit ain't a milli, this shit is a hundred. The industry savage, and most of you average. Ain't afraid of no static, I'm bussing. He might be an addict, he drinking that tussin. He know where you live, where you work, do you trust him?
No.
She below the belt, that's a low blow. She gon' try and blame it on YOLO. Niggas out here tryna rap beef. I ain't giving no free promo. He cuffin', he a cop like Robo. I'ma pass to the gang like Romo. Brand new Rari, I'm solo. Finna go shopping in Soho. You could dump me in the middle of the ocean, I'm still coming out dry. You could leave me in the jungle with bears and tigers, I'm coming out fly. I'd take the stand for my brother, put my hand on the Bible, I'm still gon' lie. You could have all the fame in the world, all the money in the world, won't stop no cry. Pain and the hunger made a savage. Came from the bottom, disadvantaged. Then I start living my dreams. That shit turned me to an addict. It ain't about the money, you can have it. Shorty got a booty, I'ma grab it. In the fast lane, tryna dodge traffic. But I ain't never dodged no static. War wounds, I got scars. Teachers told me I wouldn't be nothing, but I went far. I could pay your salary for 10 years with one car. All the pain and all the struggle made a superstar.
A monster, power, the money and the fame make a monster, a monster.
Astonishment of heart. See, Tommy, that's why you feel like you got a chip on your shoulder.
Until you why God, why God,
I gotta suffer. Pain in my heart, carry burdens full of struggle. Why God, do I gotta bleed? Every stone thrown at you, resting at my feet. Why God, do I gotta suffer? Earth is no more, won't you burn this motherfucker?
I beat your ass, keep talking back. I beat your ass, who bought you that? You stole it. I beat your ass if you say that game is broken. I beat your ass if you jump on my couch. I beat your ass if you walk in this house with tears in your eyes, running from poo-poo and Prentice. Go back outside, I beat your ass, little nigga. That homework better be finished. I beat your ass, your teachers better not be bitching about you in class. That pizza better not be wasted, you eat it all. That TV better not be loud if you got it on. Them Jordans better not get dirty when I just bought them. Better not hear about you humping on Keisha's daughter. Better not hear you got caught up. I beat your ass, you better not run to your father. I beat your ass, you know my patience running thin. I got boo-boo payments to make. County buildings on my ass, trying to take my food stamps away. I beat your ass if you tell them social workers he live here. I beat your ass if I beat your ass twice and you still here. 7 years old, think you run this house by yourself? Nigga, you gon' fear me if you don't fear no one else.
If I can smoke fear away, I roll that motherfucker up.
And then I take 2 hours to get back to the
house.
Then I take 2 hours.
I'm high now.
Life's a bitch, pull them panties to the side now.
I don't think I can find a way
to make it on this earth. I probably die anonymous, I probably die with promises. I probably die walking back home from the candy house. I probably die because these colors are standing out. I probably die because I ain't know the markets are snitching. I probably die at these house parties fucking with bitches. I probably die from witnesses leaving me false accused. I probably die from thinking that me and your hood was cool. Or maybe die from pressing the line, acting too extra. Or maybe die because these smokers are more than desperate. I probably die from one of these pats and blue badges. Body slammed in black and white paint, my bones snapping. Or maybe die from panic or die from being too lax. Or die for waiting on it, die cause I'm moving too fast. I probably die trying to buy weed at the apartments. I probably die trying to defuse two homies arguing. I probably die cause that's what you do when you're 17. My worries in a hurry, I wish I controlled things.
If I can smoke fear away, I roll that motherfucker up.
When I was 27, I grew accustomed to more fear. Accumulated 10 times over throughout the years. My newfound life made all of me magnified. How many accolades do I need to block denial? The shock value of my success provokes in me. All this money is God playing a joke on me. Is it for the moment and will he see me as Job? Take it from me and leave me worse than I was before. At 27, my biggest fear was losing it all. Scared to spend money, had me sleeping from hard to hard. Scared to go back to Section 8 with my mama stressing. 30 shows a month and I still won't buy me no Lexus. What is an advisor? Somebody that's holding my checks just to fuck me over and put my finances in debt. I read a case about Rihanna's accountant and wonder. I did the bad girl feel when she looked at them numbers. That type of shit'll make me flip out and just kill some, drill some. Get ill and feel wretched with a little some. My practice running from fear. Guess I had some good luck. At 27 years old, my biggest fear was being judged. How they look at me reflect on myself, my family, my city. What they say about me reveal if my reputation will miss me. What they see from me will trickle down generations in time. What they hear from me will make them highlight my simplest lines. I'm talking fear. Fear losing creativity, I'm talking fear. Fear missing out on you and me, I'm talking fear. Fear losing loyalty for pride, cause my DNA won't let me involve in the light of God. I'm talking fear. Fear that my humbleness is gone, I'm talking fear. Fear that love ain't living here no more, I'm talking fear.
fear that is wickedness or weakness. Fear, whatever it is, both is distinctive. Fear, what happens on earth stays on earth, and I can't take these feelings with me, so hopefully they disperse within 14 tracks, carried out over wax, searching for resolutions until somebody get back. Fear, what happens on earth stays on earth, and I can't take these feelings with me, so hopefully they disperse within 14 tracks, carried out over wax, wondering if I'm living through fear or living through rap. Damn.
God damn you. God damn me. God damn us. God damn we. God damn us all.
Verse 2 says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. So until we come back to these commandments, until you come back to these commandments, we're going to feel this way. We're going to be under this curse. Because he said he's going to punish us, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native American Indians. Are the true children of Israel. We are the Israelites according to the Bible. The children of Israel is going to punish us for our iniquity, for our disobedience, because we chose to follow other gods. That as a man chasing his son, so the Lord thy God chasing thee. So just like you're chasing your own son, he's going to chasten you because he loved you. So that's why we get chastised. That's why we're in the position that we're in. Until we come back to these laws, statutes, and commandments and do what the Lord says, these curses is going to be upon us. We're going to be at a lower state in this life that we live here and today in the United States of America. I love you, family, and I pray for you.
Here's your time for an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspective, with host Brother Oshi, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambon and Sister Nataki Kambon, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, with creator of Time for an Awakening and host, Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk, with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed, and get involved.
You are listening to Black Sister Talk, So You Can Breathe, with host LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk radio broadcast is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com radio platform. Reach out to them at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, and type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Welcome back.
They don't get extra time.
Oh, Miss Lightning. Introduction, let you know she here. Okay, talk to the. Oh, my God. My God, today.
So we got a question from somebody before we get back into this discussion. If this is a talk radio show or if this is a music radio show, and so what do you think? Come on now. Somebody else answer that for me, because if Ms. Chavez got to answer.
I'm going to answer for it too, though. I'm glad that's a good question. I love that question for sure.
It's a millennial.
It's a talk radio show.
You goddamn right, Lulu. Tell one more time what people in the damn fact. It's a talk radio show. And you dealing with a talk radio show with some millennials. So we're going to put some flavor on that thing. We ain't going to be sitting up in here talking like some damn bookworms and stuff. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you can do that on your own damn show. You can do that on your own channel. But we are, like I said, the talk. We like to bring a little of that knowledge with a little of that street smart with a little of that flavor. Understand that? You understand that? I am a young woman.
All right.
An intellectual woman. So this show gonna have some flavor, and it's gonna have some knowledge, and it's gonna have the information you seeking, and you gonna hear some people here who want to breathe. Therapy to breathe. Music is very beneficial to this conversation because the music sets the tone for the situation. Was you paying attention to fear? Did we not just breathe on the fear that this shit looks for you? You get angry for your parents? Come on now. Let the music speak. Let the music speak. Come on now. What you think this is?
I just think I hope that everybody that listens to the show can understand. We put time in the music too, because we know that, you know, the music got a message. We trying to get the vibe right now. And I love our playlist, you know, because we really put thought into it. And you're right, when I heard Fear is the perfect song for this. I didn't even think about it until you came up with it. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I see. Fear is definitely in them, because the anger, there's a big relationship between fear and anger. You know what I'm saying? And he definitely addressed that. So I hope that everybody listens to it. And I definitely think the music and the lyrics for what they are, because they are beautiful, for sure.
Okay. The music is definitely part of the representation, and it must have. And I'm not changing the music. Y'all give me an extra hour if y'all want me to talk more. That's what y'all can do. Otherwise, we gonna have that music, because Miss Chambers is a busy woman and she need a damn break sometimes too when that song is on. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm monitoring folks. That don't go boop boop. I gotta go see who it is. Like, yeah, come on now. I need that. I need them few minutes of a break. My God, today. So, I ain't gonna get angry about that. I hope I answered your question. And if you have any other questions, I will be more than happy to answer them. And you can go ahead and call on in to Black Sister Talk and come speak your mind and breathe if you want to breathe. And if you don't want to listen to damn music, cut it down and come back in 10 minutes. Because we're gonna still be here talking on Black Sister Talk. Okay?
I heard Ms. Lulu on the line. What's going on, Ms. Lulu? And Ms. Lainey.
Ms. Lulu and Ms. Lainey. Y'all know what? Y'all have become some favorites on the show. I got people texting me, when Lulu going to be calling in? When Lulu coming on the show? When Ms. Lainey coming on the show? Damn.
Y'all, today is my birthday.
Oh, and my God. Today.
I am 73.
73?
Yes.
Woo.
And come on.
Happy
so
birthday.
Huh? I ain't ashamed to tell my age.
Look, I ain't ashamed to tell my age.
Happy birthday, Miss Lulu.
And out here, boom, it's 73 doing
concert. You're right, I know y'all
from the society. Look for that lady on that movie that's doing them flips at the church.
Only in the mind.
Only in the
my sons are giving me a birthday party at their home, and we all been around each other. But I wanted to mention about the anger management, because I used to teach it. And I had an opening when I did my circles. I would share with them where I came from with my anger, so they would be able to share. Because anger is a learned, how you react to it is a learned behavior. It is natural, but it is a learned behavior, how we react to it. And I remember when my family used to visit Chicago, there was a lady named Bit, and when she got angry, she would bite her index finger. And I started marking her, and I would be so mad that I was actually hurting myself my index finger put a protection skin over, and I bit it one day, and that skin split. But all my sisters copied off of me. We get mad, and our kids laugh at us today because that's how we reacted. But I had to learn this learned behavior was inappropriate. I was hurting myself. And when I was doing one of my circles with some ladies that were getting out of jail, and this lady shared with me that her mother would do this when she get angry, that she would get in her car and drive 90 miles an hour with them in there. And this woman did the same thing when she got angry. Fortunately, she had her three kids in the car, and she was driving as fast as she could, and the police got after her going through these small streets. And the kids would be screaming and crying, and she went back in her past and found where she got it from, where her mother got it from, and then said, now you have to learn some new techniques to how you handle your anger, because it does feel burning inside, and you're going to explode, and you're going to do all these different things. But see, I exploded on myself. Some people explode on others. But I got a handle on it because I learned about myself. I have what they call bottleneck anger, and you hold it and hold it, and then it's like a soda. If you shake it up, it's going to just go on everybody, even if they wasn't a part of it. So it's good to know thyself and how you react with anger and why. So I was saying it's a great subject, a great topic, but people really have to investigate where the anger came from, the way they express it. And they can learn new techniques. And the breathing is excellent. And counting, it's a lot of things you can do, but you have to become self-aware first. All right?
Look, coming to drop that fire on her birthday. I am so blessed to have you bless us with your presence. Because if it was my birthday, my sister talk is going to be on a sabbatical. Okay.
You know, I just want to tell you, it reminded me of something. I woke up this morning, because you know I work with kids with anger and kids that don't want to learn. And I have to find out what's going on. And you're in the fifth grade, whatever grade, you miss so much. And I put my argument out there because the standards that the state has made for us are really good. They're theirs. But those standards don't know that our kids do not know how to multiply or add, and they get really mad or it's too hard. So I've been thinking of a way. I did something on Friday. I had these kids look at sardines in a picture with different kind of sardines, a sardine story, to get them to start talking about the picture, not about home, the game, and other things, to focus. And it was 32 little Simons, and I told them, color them and count them as you color. And they made me start with three times. I said, ooh, I was losing my focus. But anyway, one little boy sat there and wrote 90. And he is one of the biggest trouble. I said, where'd you get the? He said, I counted 90. I said, no, you guessed that. Honey, you guessed that. And he said, yeah, I did. I said, now go back and color and count them. But I started watching all these kids focus. So I'm going to say Bennett Focus. I'm going to name it Bennett's Focus Group. I'm going to put another part to it, but to help our children, because when they cannot do something and they get angry because they don't want anybody to know. That's another form of anger that gets to the kids and not put them on Front Street. But I tell them, you don't ever have to worry about Miss Bennett, because you didn't come here knowing, you came here to learn. And it's helped a lot with the kids. Even the worst kids teach them, my kids are sneaking out of the classroom to come to your room. What's going on? I want to say, if you give a little more love and stop reacting to their stuff, maybe they'll be coming up to your desk too, but I didn't say that. So I want you to know, I want to be a part of the fix the problem that is wrong, which started a long time ago, where now our parents can't even teach their own kids in the home because, and I don't mean this against anybody, because they don't know the answers. And they change these problems, and they give too much. So I'm advocating that four problems is enough a night for a kid to do what they learned in school and repeat it, and they can tell it to their parents instead of coming home trying to do 50 problems, which the teachers don't even correct, which create another problem for everybody. So I thank you guys for having this breathing moment.
Look, you're going to breathe on your birthday. I just got to, I'm serious, Lulu. I appreciate you coming on the show on your birthday and dropping that knowledge on us, because like I said, I had my princess crown or my queen crown on, and I had my throne, and y'all think I was at the damn players ball, okay?
Well, I'm standing in the mirror looking at you. That's all right.
Now
I'm just kidding.
But I'm happy. I'll be around here praying for the month. So, okay. Yes. Yes, thank you, Lulu. And you're so right. You know, focus. Just having the ability to focus is going to be right. So important. The skill necessary to enhance. Because when... Mm-hmm. You're around a person who's angry. Yes, you do learn how to get angry from them, but that anger also affects your attachment. That was the other part that I brought up. It makes you fear. That's why that top of the hour song, ooh, Fear, was so flat. Yeah, you know it. Y'all know. Come on now. We going to call this church. You know it's church on Saturday here with Black Sister Talk. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't no pastor, no minister, but I'm going to influence you with these ideas because it's common sense, and it's nothing that going to take you off your beliefs or your understanding. It's going to enhance whatever understanding you have.
Amen. I say amen to that.
Well, amen, I say, I say, and everything else. And I'm down with it, and I respect you, and I need you to respect me right now and understand that, hey, that affects your attachment with that person. You see that anger, and you begin to fear that anger, and that fear shuts you down. That fear creates that negative portion later in life. And so we're gonna get real.
Toxic behaviors. And I want to share another one with you. I have two white students and the rest are black. But these two little white boys got this superiority, and they walk beside me when I walk into my classroom and they're talking. I said, young man, you're not on my level. And I need for you to stop saying, I'm done and I got it right, because all your problems are wrong. But I told him privately about that. And I said, I'm not going to have you shooting the superiority across the other kids, because I could see it all over them. And this is a problem for our kids. But my little other, my colored, black, whatever you call them, African-American students, their problems were right. And his were wrong. But he was done in 10 minutes. And this is what's been leading our country.
Hmm.
I'm building them up, telling them they can be presidents, they can be senators, they can be House of Representatives, they can be whatever they want to be. Just don't go sell the drugs. I found that in school too. When I went to school with the white kids, they would come up and you think they're right because you don't know, and your parents didn't know how to do it. I got a passion for this here, but I'm gonna call you guys too, and I'm gonna ask y'all to help me make some focus sheets that you think that would be good, and I will be doing a trial run on these children who have no focus, and we put it out there as a way to help the parents, to help, and I'm starting with the schools, letting them know, whatever school I'm at, I have to tell them. Stop sending that homework home. Don't work. Okay. All right, guys, I'm going to get ready to take me in my son's house at 5.
I love you.
Love you too, Lulu. Thank you for calling in. Have a happy, great birthday. And now you know you're going to have to go by and come get your birthday gift. You should have told me that, because I could have did it too.
Oh, and by the way, I did a scrub.
Self-care, the best care. You certainly deserve it. I'm so glad you enjoyed that. And I got some stuff.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Lulu. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Lulu, so precious, y'all. She didn't call us on her birthday. I'm coming over there and get some damn cake, too. Miss Laney.
Miss Laney. Hi, Dr. Ray. I missed you guys. Great topic today. But I think too, Ms. Chambers, that a lot of people don't know where the anger comes from, or they don't want to face it. because of the relationship or where it's coming from. Because it could be from a mom, could be from a dad, could be from whoever. You know, they just don't want to face it, and then they impose it upon their own kids. And then what hurts me is to see when the children are not able to express themselves and the mom get angry about that. Now you're teaching them how to, you know, keep that cycle going. And then they're going to grow up to be angry young men and young women because they wasn't able to express themselves as little people growing up. And that's not right.
Come on.
And let's talk about the flip side of the coin. That's the traditional side. What about our special need people? You know what I'm saying? That can't deal with mixed emotions and anger and all this here. And then that makes them shut down. And if they got health issues, you know, God forbid if they had epileptic seizures or something like that, then you have increased seizures coming on, because that's one thing that they cannot take is stress and looking at people with anger or any other thing. And that makes them shut down. Or, you know, if they autistic or things of that nature. So then now you're imposing that upon them, and they got other things that they're dealing with, mixed emotions and feelings and stuff. And now they have to deal with this. So how do you balance that out for them when you can't balance it out for yourself?
Come on now. How about this? Come on now. Let's be real. This kid has some issues. And the mother or father or environment, people in that environment, right, have mental health issues. But they are in denial, but will quick, fast, and in a hurry say that this child has an issue. I'm angry about that, because if we're going to fix this kid, we need to fix that picture. End of the
story. Come on now. Because apple don't fall too far from the tree.
Well, shit, you know what?
So if you don't cut the tree down, you better cut it from the root.
To tell you the truth, I ain't gonna lie. We got to be real. See, that's the problem, folks. They don't know how to be honest. And being real sometimes is the truth hurts. But we gotta get hurt. Ms. Jane, you get on something right there. Because one of my questions was, if your inner child, you know, do you believe your inner child is wounded and appears when you are petty? Let's talk about that pettiness, because that inner child, you acting kitty as hell right now.
Yep.
Nobody settle from that. Tell the truth.
You know, because some of these adults ain't adults. They act like they more kiddier than the kids are. The kids, you know, you got three and 4 year olds in the house that got more common sense and more can run the house better than the adults.
Tell me that ain't so.
And then, you know, when things are going the way you envision them to go, then now you pouting like somebody got to put you in time out.
Come on. The kid want to put the parent in time out. The kid, the kid calling somebody on you now, saying, somebody come get her. The kid telling you, I know CPS number, I know 220 say. You ain't saying nobody. This kid's is angry, and they gonna tell you they gonna call somebody when they get it.
Oh, you got the ones out there. Let's go there too. Getting the finances for the kids, and the kids not getting nothing, and that's making them angry. And then when you see Johnny over here don't want to take a bath. Johnny don't want to change clothes. Why? Because you don't care, you're taking all this money and spending it on yourself.
My God today. Well, you know, that's definitely a reason to be angry. Somebody has to take care of these children. And if they're not getting the love they need, unfortunately, you missed the window of opportunity, because now this kid doesn't know love, doesn't know how to give love, and you set them up just for failure. Whether that's a girl or a boy, we're breeding toxic male and woman toxicity. So masculinity and femininity is at stake at that point.
And then we wonder why our systems are so full of, our prison system are so full of our black men, because this is a way of survival for them, because they didn't get that growing up, no matter what the situation is.
Come on now. We're gonna go right back to the beginning, because we didn't already talk about why we was angry. Okay. We need to look at the hate you give yourself. Because we really gotta touch on the hate we give ourselves, and we still have yet to get on the colorism. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff going on right now. And I don't know that we're going to touch on it all today, but we definitely can carry on with this discussion the next week if need be, because if we're not done processing, we just can't move on to the next thing. I ain't going to do y'all like that. I ain't going to do y'all like that, because I'm not going to hold y'all to her standing to myself. We ain't got there yet. But that's okay. We got time. We got time, and I got time to work this thing out. I'll work the thing in and work the thing out. I'm a philosopher. So I'm going to go around it, win it, and under it, and over it, and back it, and we're going to figure it out. So Ms. Lady brought up some really good points. Everybody on the line has brought up some really good points. I'm not going to convince where we're going, because we're talking about what happened to anger time, but we have yet to get on how that anger manifests to the hate that you give yourself.
I think when I hear that question, I feel colorism, but to me, I think about just the expectation that you know, I think that's the biggest anger, though, is knowing that, you know, anger is a good thing too. I can't really say anger is a dual type of thing, but I think for me, when I get the hate that I give myself, I think about all the times though that maybe the family was not there where I wanted them to be there for me. Maybe I had to tell to my inner child a little bit and know that my God, you still made it. You know what I'm saying? No, you still made it, and it showed out of anger, but it also showed out of compassion. It showed out into creating a life of authentic for myself. So I think a lot of times, myself, is these internalized experiences that we are taking from the outside looking in. You know, sometimes though we take these criticisms and these comments from our authority figures, though, and we might internalize them a little bit more than what we might think, and it plays out to our life, and we wondering where did that come from. You know, I think the hate we give ourselves, though, we gotta learn how to forgive ourselves a lot more. And to know that, you know, all the anger, can't say the people should deserve disrespect while the light skinned people don't, you know, should get away with murder. You know what I mean? You gotta talk about that, because, you know, it's still that internalized white supremacy. You know, we can sit here and say you hate the white man all we want, but the problem is, you know, we always hate the white man one way or another. You gotta forgive myself for that too.
That's what you're saying? You are the white man, you just in blackface?
That's not me, but I can tell you that I think I put the work in for my colonizer, not you
in general, just Jermaine. I'm saying in general, which what you're saying, basically, with all of the education and all of the other things that you have experienced, because you live in a European culture, you have taken on European quality, acculturation. You are now a white person in blackface. Call it what it is. And now who are you? Because your identity is not that of yours. That identity is one that has been given to you, and one that you have been told is yours. And so for you to sit here and say, well, shit, who am I angry at? What am I angry at? Shit, you don't even have an identity to know to begin. You haven't even sought that knowledge out. So that's a whole nother issue. You know what I'm saying? Because I can be angry. I can be tough. We'll be on this motherfucker all week about how angry I am about not understanding that identity piece because of so many different books that have been written and so many lies that we have been told. So I'm not even finna get on breathing on that because I have to breathe on relying on my principles and believing in the teacher that's going to teach me, going to give me the proper information, and then building on myself who I am. Because when you are a child, that self is developing. And when these parents and people in your environment are angry because they still dealing with their inner child issues, that shit is projected onto you. And you have to be a strong individual to come up out of that. Not to mention the mental health that has been not diagnosed and denied. You tell your mama or your pappy something wrong with them, they're going to be looking at your ass like, no, something wrong with you. I brought you in this goddamn world. Get the hell out of my face. You understand that? These are facts. So when we're looking at this, we have to look at this for what it is and work a thing in and work a thing out. So when I say, where I get angry or the hate that I give myself, the hate that I give myself comes from everything that society has dumped on me and or programmed me to feel. Oh, well, I got to look like this or I got to dress like this. Oh, well, as a woman, I have to carry myself away a certain way. Oh, and when you're with your man, you need to portray this certain amount of feminine energy. But when you're at work, you need to portray this masculine energy because you're in a leadership position. So you need to be able to be in power. And then when you come home, that light switch got to be turned off. And now you like, I'm the damsel in distress. You know, you got to change who you are just a tad bit. Not to say that's not who you are, but that's a role that you have to play. And that shit could be angering. So when you looking at the hate you give yourself, sometimes the hate is just, I can't be who I want to be. Why do this title have to constrict me or confine me to be a person that I don't really feel true to? Sometimes that's the hate you give yourself is because you know I can't be who I want to be because of X, Y, and Z. I'm here to say the fuck with that. I'm here to be unorthodox as possible because I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be anyone else. And when I work with somebody, I'm going to be just that. I'm going to be Ms. Wanda, your favorite therapist, because I'm going to bring the truth. I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat you. Hey, Montgomery, Alabama, you over there making a lot of damn noise. How you doing today?
I am so sorry. I'm trying to get myself together to go listen in and forgot I was on mute. But good evening, everyone. It was a pleasure hearing you. I'm sorry for my lateness, but I just wanted to chime in and say hello, if nothing else.
Oh, I appreciate you. How you doing over there in Alabama?
It's nice weather out here, nice and sunny. Just kind of one of those pick up a book and sit underneath your favorite tree and read kind of situations out here. Everything is cool. Everything is copacetic. And, living and learning to live.
I know that's right. Well, won't you come on in here and drop some of your knowledge? Because you know every time you come on here, you be having your two cents. I'll be here for it. And so I definitely want to hear what you got to say about the hate we give ourselves as individuals.
I can only share my own personal experiences I just want to say that, yes, we've been really doing a job to ourselves. What do we need to do to come over this? I think we already know this. Spiritually, we know the direction we need to take. Morally, I think we know the direction we need to take. And emotionally, I think we know the direction, but sometimes it gets confused by everybody else's definitions. And so it's just a matter of just being able to comprehend, being able to be one with self. And I think one of those Kwanzaa principles, of course, Kuji Chakulia, definitely states that for us about defining who we are for ourselves. So that's what I'm going to offer and just continue to listen and share.
All right. Well, I appreciate you for coming on. Even if you are late, you can always breathe with me.
Thank you so very much for your patience.
No problem. So, when we're looking at the hate we give ourselves, we have another part of that. Earlier, I mentioned the ripple effect. And so, the hate that we give ourselves, we then project onto others. And sometimes you can do this projection without even noticing. It is like second nature. It becomes so behavioral that you don't even recognize that you're engaging in these behaviors. And so it's going to be important to look at, okay, how do I treat myself? Do I love myself? Do I feel worthy? Am I enough? And a way to kind of tap into that is just really thinking, like, how do I feel about myself? Where does my confidence come from? Am I confident? You know, am I confident in my skin? Am I okay with me? Flaws and all. You know what I'm saying? Do I accept me? Because in our community, me being this color and maybe my cousin or my sisters being very light skinned and then my mother being dark skinned, you'll be like, y'all look like a damn swatch palette. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all coming in every shade of caramel to chocolate. You understand me? And so we have to learn to embrace all of our colors. The light ones, the bright ones, the in-between light skinned and caramel. You know, we got, I call that the camel. But all of the shades that we come and embrace that. You know what I mean? Instead of, oh, well, she light skinned, I don't want to mess with her. Or she mulatto, or she this or that, or she a mud. You know, just all of that. What's up with all of that? You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because you create a hate upon yourself that ain't even a hate you need to accept because God didn't create you that way. God made you the way he wanted to make you. And that has to be accepted in order for you to not project things onto others, because you can hate yourself for the way that you've gotten angry. And now you just inward with that anger. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Some people go outward. I heard Ms. Devine earlier say, I'll bust up some stuff or I'll bust you up. You know what I'm saying? I know about that. Been there, done that. To punch a couple holes in some walls and bust up some stuff. You know where I learned that from? I learned that from my uncle. But why I learned that from my uncle? Because my auntie was a crackhead. See, I didn't understand why he behaved that way. I just know he got angry. As an adult now, he was angry because that was his sister. He loved his sister. He didn't want to see her out there like that. And instead of beating her ass, he went ahead and bust the wall up. And so in turn, I'm a little shorty looking at that. Oh, that's how you get angry. You go crash the wall. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have to see me the first time I punched that damn wall. I must have thought I was Mr. Miyagi. I must have thought I was a damn karate about to get my black belt. You understand me? I'm saying, hey, boom, wall, what? My enemy? My hand was limp as hell. I thought I broke it. They looked at me and they said, go in there and put some ice on it, stupid. You know what I'm saying? No tenderness, no love, no care, no wrap it up if you're going to be all right. No, go on, get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? That is that is learning that anger and saying, man.
You know, and I've been the thing about anger is sometimes you don't know how to get it off. But sometimes you punch in the wall to even fix that anger. You know, I think that, I hope that, you know, the older we get and the more that we evolve as a, you know, as a black community, that we learn how to communicate more with our mouth more than our hands. Because we all very tip off emotionally if somebody hurt our feelings, or you know, we felt like somebody had disrespected us in any kind of way. We got to learn how to talk a little bit more and be more honest about our experience, so that others can validate that. You know what I'm saying? And if people can, if you can't talk to people, then you should just cut the relationship off right there and keep it moving. Because we don't need to be putting our hands on nobody, especially if ain't nobody trying to put nobody in harm or in danger or more than that, you know, try to kill them, you know, and that's just what it is. But we got to learn how to communicate, because us fighting and us being mean to each other ain't going to get us nowhere. You know, I mean, collectively as a whole, they say by 2050, we're going to have 0% of wealth in the Black community. We got to start thinking about what the hell we're going to do together, because everybody's trying to exit this out, you know, collectively, you know, as a whole, as races together, combined together. So we got to learn how to put it together, because we didn't talk about colorism. I mean, about, you know, democracy, women and men. You know, what about, you know, life when people are treating them a certain kind of way and they think they're not doing it, but the Black person can know that unconsciously, that, you know, this life when person is better than me. You know, imagine how that person got to feel. So it's like, we got to have more capacity for each other. We have a soul, we are soul being people. We need to utilize that more and have more compassion for one another and learn how to talk. And I don't mean communicate though and be all light about it. You know, I'm talking about be communicating and be honest about your feelings, no matter how you're saying it. You know, and the loneliness I'm facing is true to you. You know, you can say it as expressive as possible and with the person can receive it. We didn't know how to communicate better. And I think if we can learn how to do that without us fronting, lying, you know, deceiving each other, just because you don't want nobody to see us for who we are, we'll be a better people overall.
Come on.
I'm just saying, because I talk my talk daily, and I know, some, you know, we got to validate ourselves for other people to validate it.
Well, what did I say at the beginning of this show? We teach people how to treat us. We teach people how to treat us. If you ain't got no confidence in you, why the hell should I? If you don't think you smart, why the hell should I? If you don't think you deserve something, why the hell should I? I'm just because I'm gonna walk around here and I'm gonna treat myself well. So when you see me out here, you know you better treat me well too, and I'm gonna treat you well. Because I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. And that's that. That's that. I'm telling you the truth, though. And this fool over here telling me not to wear my mask, and I'm over here with the... I'm telling you. Where that little cough come from out of the no damn where? Where my Zuma? That is not right.
I mean, that's why I love this topic, though, because I think it's a very important topic, because I know Black people are angry, and we got a lot of reasons to be angry about. I'm not saying that anybody's angry is justified. You know, it's just that what we going to do with this anger? You know what I'm saying? Are we going to destroy ourselves in the process? Or we going to burn this bitch down and start some new shit?
Well, we got to take it one step at a time. Rome wasn't built in a day. I done gave y'all something to simmer on, because the next week we can definitely get into some of these solutions.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? See, we have to address the problem. Now go ahead and think about that problem. Engage yourself in some journaling and some writing. Show yourself some gratitude. Allow yourself to go to a vulnerable place so that you can address these things, because it ain't no one size fits all. And it's really important to know that that everybody's family is not dysfunctional.
That's true too. You just said everybody not. And I don't know if you said that, because everybody not. Everybody don't have that same issue though. But I think at the same time though, I think it's majority of people's problems though. I gotta be real on that. We all, when you call Black people, probably we hear the breeze, majority of them are though. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Nothing wrong with the smaller group that's not functioning. I mean, they're all functioning. But what about the majority of them that's not?
Come on now. Because see, that's the thing, though. When you on the outside looking in, you don't even understand what that dysfunction really is. See, me, I grew up saying family members, when I used to go visit them, I used to be like, man, y'all like the Hustables to me. Like, that family was like watching the Cosby Show. You know what I'm saying? And then you find out and you like, oh, I didn't even know you was in pain. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know I needed to check on you. I didn't even know you had anger. You know what I'm saying? Because on the outside looking in, it looks so much better than the shit I was dealing with, than the trauma I was experiencing on the day-to-day. You know what I'm saying? Imagine growing up in a household and you don't even know how to read and write. And you the youngest. You was a kid. And you reading everybody mail like this, filling this out. Hey, this. You need to call these people, you need to send this in. You know what I'm saying? That's taking authority at a very young age when you as a child should have just been a kid. You understand that? We have children out there like this because the parents are not speaking up and saying that they need the help. You understand that? That's an issue. Huge issue. We got to talk about that. We can't avoid these things. We can't what go on in my house, stay in my house. You got to find you a tribe so you can go ahead and talk because you are not alone. You are not alone. We're going to breathe today. We're going to have an afternoon talk on Bego Live. So if anybody is interested in joining us for the after show discussion, you can definitely join us on Bego Live to join the panel discussion and share your thoughts and any comments that you want to share. I'd be very happy to hear it. You have an open place there that is going to be our new community circle platform, so you guys can always come on there and talk to me at 5 to 6 after the shows on Saturday. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I hope that you all were able to at least begin to address some old wounds so we can bring some progression. Let's do something about that. Let's not continue these cycles. Because the black family is wounded. I had a panel discussion earlier and somebody was saying like some of these traditions need to be upheld and some of these traditions need to be done away with. You know what I'm saying? And that what goes on in my house, stay in my house is one I definitely need to be done away with. And silencing these children and telling them, hey, you don't matter. You they first God. And if you they first God and you tell that baby they don't matter, you done broke their spirit. You done broke that spirit. And you done broke yours at the same time. Because you took that kid to a place where you still at. So I need you to grow up. I need you to take a minute. Even though if you, whatever age you is, I need you to take a minute and look in the mirror and grow up. And admit to yourself that you're wrong. And then agree, give yourself permission to agree to change, because it's possible, and it starts with getting up out that denial. So many times we are stuck in delusions about certain things. Oh, that don't bother me, that should come out another way. That it do, the anger, if I'm telling you, even if that mustard seed be growing and growing, and boom, I'm all up in your ass. I'm all up in there. I'm 0 to 30. I'm 0 to 10. I'm 0 to 5. Shit, I'm 0 to 1 now. Y'all ain't finna do nothing with me. That's what you up against. So let's address it. Let's start communicating when things are bothering you. Start using your words. You are processing shit constantly inwardly when you need to be using your words on the outside, addressing the person, not frustrated, not overwhelmed, not, oh, this gonna hurt them. But your ass is hurting. But you the one hurting. But you over here putting somebody else's feelings to the side. We have to get over that. And lastly, before we end this show, work on them boundaries. Work on them boundaries. I ain't trying to tell you to do everything in one day, but set one goal to work on one boundary that you know should be definitely stronger. You know yourself. I ain't gotta even point out what that boundary is. You point that. This your life. Take dominion over it. Listen, this Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. Be here with us next Saturday from 3 to 5 Central. And we'll have grand until I'm tired. They say you ain't grand until you tired. So I'm grand and with my eyes wide, looking to find my way through the day, a life for the night. Dear Lord, you took so many of my people. I'm just wondering why you haven't taken my life. Like, what the hell am I doing right? Take me away from the hood, like a state penitentiary. Take me away from the hood, in a casket or a Bentley. Take me away, like a don't take me away, like a from Kurt Cobain. I'm from a windy city, like do or die. From a block close to where Biggie was crucified. That was Brooklyn's Jesus, shot for no reason. And you wonder why Kanye wears Jesus pieces, cause that's Jesus' people, and game he's the equal. Hated on so much, passion to Christ need a sequel. Yeah, like Rockefeller need a Siegel. Like I needed my father, but he needed a needle. I need some meditation so I can lead my people. They asking why? Why did John Lennon lead the Beatles? And why every hood feed off evil? Answer my question for this lead us. Grinding until I'm tired, cause this you ain't grinding until you die. So I'm grinding with my eyes wide, looking to find my way through the day, a life for the night. Dear Lord, you done took so many.